The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon, the crazy old man in his own attic has the day off, but you know who never needs vacation?
Phil and Frank, social distance style, baby.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah.
You're supposed to be right here about 6 feet from me, and instead you're many floors away. What is that about?
They told me to stay away from you.
Wow.
They think that I'm at risk.
You're like 600 feet. Not even
four cows can
get it that far. Welcome to PTI. We will get to the brawl, the bubble, and the PGA Championship in a moment, but let's start with the big mess that is college football. The Big Ten and Pac-12 are reportedly close to canceling fall football, just like the MAC did Saturday, but the SEC, ACC, and Big 12 still seem intent for the moment, this moment, on playing. Meanwhile, the players have bonded together, some of them, posting that they want to play provided they feel protected and can move toward a players association. Frank, where do you see this season headed now?
I see it headed out for a bunch of conferences. I still think, we talked about this 6 weeks ago, Michael, the SEC is going to be one of those conferences that holds out. They want to play. But let's remember, there's a liability issue. There's a health issue. No one knows what the long-term effects are. And I understand the players. The competitive nature of players, they want to play. But these college presidents, they know how much money's out there for the football programs. They'd love to see them play, but their health experts are telling them you can't do it. So I think we're not going to see a lot of college football. I think we may see some in the SEC. These other conferences, no.
I don't even know about the SEC, Frank. And they can talk, they can be bold, and they can be some of them in denial until they get to the point later in a camp or that run-up to September 26th, I think, when they're trying to start their season, where players are also students. This is really when they are student-athletes. And they're going to allegedly, some places, be in class, be in dorms, be in a some sort of cafeteria, you know, have roommates, have girlfriends, boyfriends, whatever they got. People are going to be not just 6 feet away from each other, but on each other. And so this is preposterous to me. And, you know, people I've talked to, and I've talked to multiples, who say they just don't see any way forward.
Yeah.
All right, for college football. And you talked about liability. Frank, the SEC and other conferences, and the SEC sort of leading the way. And people who want to play, like in Nebraska, where apparently there's just no state guidelines, not like some other counties and states. You know what? Until some kid comes up really sick, or a staffer, or a coach, and is in a hospital, God forbid, or faces a ventilator, then all of a sudden they worry about their liability instead of what they should have been thinking about in the first place, which is safety and health.
You know, it's amazing. If you ever want to know how powerful college football is, think about today. You had senators, governors, the president of the United States spoke out. You even had the real power brokers, the college football coaches, talking about wanting college football. And it's interesting. Jim Harbaugh talked about it, Michigan. You know, if we have the players and we're monitoring them, they're going to be safe in the bubble that we've kind of created with the players. Well, guess what? You can still do that and not have football. I get that it's a safety issue, but why not still do it and protect the players?
Because of the $4 billion that we're talking about here. I mean, that's ultimately what it is. Frank, I think a couple of things could be in play. Let me mention real quickly. Sliding the season even deeper while you see where the country goes in the next couple of months. And so who knows? Would people not accept college football that started in November and played in December? And yes, they would accept it. And, of course, in the spring, when you could have something in February, March, April, maybe, again, depending on where this country is. So, but there's so much to consider. But right now, I know all these conference presidents are going to have meetings. The Big Ten, again, the SEC, and everybody's going to wait to see what they think. But nobody's physicians and scientists, Frank, are on the record as telling them this is a good idea. None that I've heard of, and I think you'd say the same thing.
And, Michael, there's a lot of money at stake. We already talked about Stanford dropped 11 varsity sports. How about all these schools that the football program finances everything? And if you don't have football in place like the Pac-12, the Big Ten, the SEC, it's going to be major. All right, on to baseball now. And baseball has some suspensions to deal out after yesterday's brawl between the A's and the Astros. Did you see this? After Oakland outfielder Ramon Laureano was drilled for the third time in a three-game series, he seemed content to show Humberto Castellanos how to correct his slider. But then he got taunted by Astros hitting coach Alex Cintron. I don't know what he was doing. And the brawl was on. Mike, Laureano broke baseball's no-brawl policy, but does he really deserve a big suspension?
Yeah, he had time to think about what he did. I mean, even though you can say it was an instant reaction, it took him a while. And in baseball, that's time for premeditation. He knew what he was doing when he went over there. Look, I understand, in baseball parlance, he may have been provoked. But yes, this is different. Now, the normal excuses about what plays in baseball's culture of written and unwritten rules, it doesn't apply. You got to send him out for, I don't know, 10, 15 games at least. All right? If you're talking about sending a pitcher down for whatever number of games they
eight
did.
Eight games for Joe Kelly.
Then you got to send a daily. You got to send him down. And by the way, Alex Cintron, he gets 20 games.
Yeah.
Because he intentionally provoked what he knew from being in baseball for years and years and years would result in people without masks confronting each other,
yep,
okay, and droplets flying everywhere from inches away. He knew what he was doing. I might give him 25 games for provoking, but I would hit both these guys hard.
Well, Michael, we know this from every sport. What the leagues want from the coaches and officials is to serve as a peacemaker. They don't want you standing on the top of the dugout, yeah, saying, come here, come on, I'll have a piece of you. I get it. He's going to get a big suspension.
He should.
But I'll say this, too. You know this about baseball culture. You can talk all you want. We don't want brawls. When a guy gets hit three times, twice in the same game, right in the back, I don't care if it was a slider, at some point there's going to be a reaction. The A's have won 9 straight games. They know that the Astros are the most hated team now in baseball. And at that moment, you just react. The interesting thing was, the umpires, you could hear them in the stadium telling players to get back in the stands, because players who were actually in the stands came out onto the field.
Yeah.
Nobody's wearing a mask. It's a disaster out there.
It is, Frank. Look, you could, and the Astros, I mean, you can suspend the Astros. You can suspend all, you can throw the book at the Astros, okay? And I don't care who was most recently, you know, charged with the responsibility of retaliation and I took up for my team. This isn't that time. I mean, and I, you know, Frank, I was wrong. I thought baseball players and coaches and bench coaches, I thought they would get it. So far, we got multiple teams of people who don't get it. So they better thank God I'm not the commissioner. Because I would start thinking in terms of 20 games for any and all of these people, particularly Astros.
Well, Mike, this is the thing. Baseball allows the players in a lot of ways to decide it on the field, because they didn't suspend Altuve. They didn't suspend any of the players from the Astros.
Yeah.
So the rest of the league is like, you know what? We'll serve out justice on the field.
Be careful what they ask for, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the PGA Championship. I watched every stroke of Colin Morikawa's first major triumph, including the phenomenal drive on the par 4 16th that Nick Faldo, Sir Nick, called, quote, one of the greatest shots of all time, close quote. Morikawa entered the day 2 shots out of the lead, but won by 2 after shooting a final round 64 to go with Saturday's 65. Afterwards, Morikawa said, quote, it doesn't stop here, close quote. Frank, do you sense that a star is born?
Oh, 100%. He's 23 years old. He's already won 3 times. He's already won 1 major. And you mentioned the shot at 16. You're always looking for kind of that signature moment. And that shot that he hit, and then he taps it in for eagle. You know, Nick, you mentioned Nick Faldo. He said right before that tee shot, because Morikawa tends to hit his left to right, and he said, you know what? He could hit this tee shot in his sleep, and that's exactly what he did. What a shot, what a moment, what a great weekend for golf.
You know what's amazing? It all of that, I agree with Frank. It's all true. And people around the golf industry, and particularly players on tour, they all thought that Morikawa, while getting sort of less attention, had the game to be a big star. And I think one of the developments, one of the things I'm taking out of this is not just Morikawa's play, which you outlined. I'm going to go to some other guys, because this is what these young bucks did. I thought that the torch was passed respectfully from Tiger and Phil, and Tiger shot 67 on Sunday in the final round, Tiger and Phil to this young posse. And I'm sorry, LeBron would not want me saying posse, but I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. Morikawa finishes first. Matthew Wolf, fourth. Cameron Champ, 10th. Scottie Scheffler tied for 4th. Xander Schauffele tied for 10th. Daniel Berger, 13th. I think DeChambeau, who I forgot, who I often forget, tied for fourth. John Rahm, 13th. All right, these guys are all 27 and under. There's some of them bunched in the 22, 23, 24-year-old category. So now you got guys like Justin Thomas and Spieth, major winners. They're 27. Yeah. So the old guys now are Koepka and Rory. They're the old guys at 30 and 31. Frank, golf has never, to me, I don't know. I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. I don't think I usually am. Never been in better hands. And I called my brother. I'm calling out my brother now, and he's watching Tiger and the featured group. I'm like, Don, you're supposed to be the smartest Will Bond in the house. You're a dope. You're an idiot. Turn Tiger off. Get off the special group and watch the tournament. Watch everybody else, all these youngsters. I didn't miss Tiger and Phil, and I've never said that, Frank, never.
All right, the story going into the final round was Dustin Johnson, who has never won a major when he's had the lead going into the final day. He's kind of like the 90s Braves. You think he'd have a lot more championships, but he doesn't. Brooks Koepka comes out and kind of knocked him a little bit, said, well, he only has one. I know Rory McIlroy took exception to it. But Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson, they seem like they're friends. It seemed like he was busting his chops, kind of like what you do into your brother. What did you make of that whole exchange that they
had? I thought it was busting chops, too, because they're friendly. Yeah. But then Rory, to me, is sort of the compass of golf.
Yeah.
I mean, what he says you take seriously, he just seems like a measured, smart guy. But you can have if those guys come out and everybody has a Twitter account, they may be out by the end of the show saying, hey, Rory, chill. We're just going after each other. And you know, yeah. I like to go after
Only the NBA goes to social media. The golfers, they don't seem to do that.
They don't, not as much. Let's take a break. But coming up, where does Ben Simmons' latest injury leave the Sixers?
And how seriously should we take the Lakers' recent struggle? Ooh, LeBron said they got issues off the court, Michael.
Should I not have gone after Don on national TV?
Apologize now or
no.
$50,000.
Pardon the interruption is brought to you by Miralax. It works with the water in your body to unblock your system naturally.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There was a real big weekend of developments down in the NBA bubble. The Sixers sent Ben Simmons home indefinitely to have surgery on his left knee. And then Joel Embiid went out with an ankle injury. Should be okay. Zion and the Pelicans are officially eliminated from playoff contention. Damian Lillard scored 51 in a win the day after the Clippers mocked him in a loss. Luka lit up the Bucks, 36-14 and 19, Frank. The Lakers lost their third straight since clinching the West, and the NBA fined Draymond Green $50,000 for tampering with my man, Devin Booker. Everybody's tampering with Devin Booker. I'd want him. Frank, of all this, or maybe you got some write-in candidates, what was the biggest deal?
Well, you know what? Zion being eliminated with the Pelicans, let's face it, the NBA wanted New Orleans to, at the very least, get in that 8-9 game. Michael, they're not even playing in that. They're done with two games to go. But how about Damian Lillard? You missed the two big free throws, the shot at the end of the Clipper game. You're getting taunted by Patrick Beverley. They're coming after you on social media. Patrick Beverley, Paul George. By the way, that should be beneath Paul George. And then he responds with 51 points. Five times this year, he's gone for 50 or more. Damian Lillard answered the bell when he needed to.
Yeah, Frank, I'm looking at all these things, and they've all got merit, right? The choices we have and maybe some others. And, you know, I went out and said that the Suns were going to go 6-2 in the bubble. They're already going 6-0. Oh, bad prediction. How about that? You know, Tony's hiding out in his attic because he doesn't want to deal with me. Oh, the Suns are always 2 years away from being 2 years away. So he didn't have to own that till another week or so. But, Frank, I'm going to go with you with Portland. And it's not just Dame Lillard's explosion, which in and of itself, as you detailed, could be enough. But when you've got Gary Trent Jr. exploding out of nowhere to give them yet another player and Nurkic back in the lineup, and now Carmelo, your defense can't tilt to deal with Carmelo. Carmelo's got more open shots, and you have followed Carmelo's whole career than he's had in like 5 years. And then you got Dame and CJ McCollum. Yeah. Look, Portland Trail Blazers are a problem if they go ahead and get the playoff and play in and play the Lakers. They would be a problem for anybody when you got that roster of guys going after it. And there's some the Suns. I think the Suns are more gearing toward, okay, what when they come back next year or whenever the NBA resumes, the Phoenix Suns, because of Booker and Ayton and a whole roster full of young guys too, they're going to be tough. But for right now, I think I agree with you, and it's Portland.
By the way, I feel badly for Alvin Gentry. I think there's going to be a coaching change now in New Orleans. It could be one in Philadelphia if they get knocked out in the first round. But how about Draymond Green, though? $50,000. To me, he wasn't tampering. He was criticizing the Suns organization.
Yes, and that's fair.
Which he did last year.
The owner. Specifically, not the organization, just the owner who deserves it.
Somebody
and Draymond
called up
was right. Draymond's on TV. You're going to stop him from having a TV job? That's a ridiculous fine for the NBA to issue. Come on. You want Draymond Green to just sit there and zip it? Stop.
Watch what you say on TV.
Stop.
You can find $50,000.
Just find Frank. Don't find me. Let's take one last break. But still to come, after postponing another series, Frank, what is baseball going to do about the Cardinals?
And Joe Adell made a mistake for the ages yesterday, but was it the worst outfield play we've seen from the last few days? There's been a few of them.
When I hear Adell, I ain't thinking about this dude. He's
singing.
Good, too. I'm thinking about Adell. Come on, man. I'm not thinking about Joe Adell, though. I'd like to have him on my team, too. Maybe the baseball will fine me for tampering. Yeah, I'd like to see him on the Cubs in a couple of years.
$50,000. Fine him.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I demand you get happy, people. Happy 21st birthday, Demetrius Jamel Morant. That's Ja Morant, homies. The Memphis Grizzlies lead guard, the second player chosen in the most recent NBA draft, is still in the bubble, trying to get his struggling team into the playoffs without his best running mate, another young stud, Jaren Jackson Jr. But even if the Grizz don't make the playoffs this year, the team has an incredibly bright future because of a nucleus of really talented youngsters, including Jackson, Dylan Brooks, Brandon Clark, Josh Jackson, and veteran big Jonas Valanciunas. But the key to all of it is Morant, whose 18 points and 7 assists per game, his athleticism, court savvy, and bodaciousness elevates that entire squad and made him Rookie of the Year over Zion, whom, to be fair, was limited to just 19 games before the bubble. Frank, are the Suns and Grizzlies, both loaded with all those recent lottery picks, going to flip the standings in the West at some point, and if so, when?
Are you asking me or Draymond Green about the Phoenix Suns? I'll say this about Memphis. They were rebuilding this year, Michael, and guess what? They're still in contention for a playoff spot. So what a year John Morant has had. Rookie of the year, no question.
Cheers to that. Happy anniversary, Terrell Owens. Unbelievably, it was 15 years ago today that T.O., who had been suspended by Coach Andy Reid already, hosted what amounted to a media circus outside his home. All this preceded a back and forth of Hugh Douglas, the Drew Rosenhaus press conference, and ugly questioning of my man, Donovan McNabb, and an all-time guest appearance at the top of PTI. I was greatly agitated at the time by T.O.'s behavior, but I'm not about to argue his credentials. He's eighth all-time in receptions, trailing only Jerry Rice, Larry Fitz, Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Marvin Harrison, Chris Carter, and Tim Brown, all of the guys except the active ones in the Hall of Fame. Of all the retired NFL players, yeah. Frank, nobody's in better shape than T.O., who recently ran with Tyreek Hill and looks like he could line up right now at 46 and play effectively against NFL defenses. I admit to having become something of a T.O. fan, and nobody in public life is better dressed than Terrell Owens, nobody.
What about you? You dress pretty well.
No.
You know, you and I remember a time wide receivers like Drew Pearson, Lynn Swan, John Starwath, Art Monk, Jerry Rice. T.O. to me was the dawn of like the diva wide receiver. Now we have Antonio Brown, Chad Ochocinco, Odell Beckham. It's like a different era of wide receivers. I don't hate it, but it's just different.
But it's something of an actor. You see T.O. outside, I've seen him. He's completely approachable, affable, and wonderful to talk to.
Unbelievable shape, too.
Happy trails to three outfield catches. Let's start yesterday in Texas, where Angels outfielder Joe Adele didn't squeeze hard enough on a Nick Solak fly ball, was then popped out and over the fence. Solak was initially credited with a home run, which he felt he deserved, but the official score later changed it to a four-base error. On Saturday in L.A., Johnny Cueto had a no-hitter going through five when Enrique Hernandez lofted an easy fly ball to left. Hunter Pence drifted in, only to have it land well behind him, lost it in the twilight. Cueto proceeded to give up four and didn't make it through the inning. And finally, let's go back to Thursday night when the White Sox left fielder Eloy Jimenez watched Christian Yelich's fly ball land just inside the foul line. His momentum then carried him over the railing and into the stands. By the time Jimenez tracked down the ball and threw it in, Yelich had rounded the bases for an inside the park job. Should have been a four-base error. Frank, which play was the most embarrassing?
I think you have to catch the ball there. It's one thing like Jose Canseco, goes off your head and goes over the wall. I was once at a game years ago. Remember Joe Orsolak?
Yes.
I was out in San Diego. A ball went into the corner where the dugout was or the bullpen was. He picked up a hot dog wrapper and the ball. He threw it the wrong way, inside the park home run. I'll tell you what, it's an exciting play in baseball. That's for sure.
those are escapades when you have that kind of stuff going on in the outfield. All right, we have no errors today, believe it or not. The old man in the attic, he makes all the errors. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Baseball postponed the three-game series between the Cardinals and the Pirates. The Cardinals are on a South Sea island on vacation. Is this a big deal, Frank?
Of course it's a big deal. They've only played five games, and by Wednesday, they will have missed 13 games. Michael, let me ask you this. Should they do what the MLS did and basically kick them out?
It looks
Why
like
not?
Any more canceled series.
You know. All right, Cleveland sent home Zach Plesac for leaving the team hotel to go out in Chicago, probably hang out with your brother. Does it make sense?
Yeah, you know, I was in Chicago. I was down on Rush Street. Not crowded Rush Street. Socially distant patio tables. Was that police? No, I'm not. I was a tavern on a rush, but that's another story. Julian Edelman said today of Tom Brady's departure, quote, I love him to death, but the train keeps moving close, quote, ouch, Frank, your thoughts.
You know what that is? That's Bill Belichick speaking right there for Julian Edelman. That's how they think in New England. It's all about the next
man up. That's
why
they keep going, too.
I don't got a problem with that at all. All right.
Either.
One of your guys, Clippers forward Montrezl Harrell, has returned to the bubble. Significant.
Yes, Frank, and you know this. This means the Clippers look like they're going to have their whole group. They had some roster issues, but Doc Rivers played in the league for forever. He understands guys can do this and that at the beginning, but when time is serious to lock down, it looks like the Clippers are moving in that direction to lock down and be in great shape. Last one, Raptors, Bucks tonight. Frank, do you have some update on who's going to play and therefore what do you expect?
Giannis is out. Lowry, Van Vliet probably not going to play. How about the Toronto Raptors, though? 50 wins. They have a better record than the Clippers, who got the Raptors' best player.
That's right.
Pretty good. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
That's why I picked Toronto, Frank. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same
good
time
pick.
Tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN.